The Radio Friends with Paul Pepper podcast is supported on KBIA by Moberly Regional Medical Center. From the flu to more serious health issues, the ER team at Moberly Regional has the knowledge and care to handle all types of injuries and illnesses. When you have an emergency, don't delay. Trust the ER team at Moberly Regional Medical Center at 1515 Union Avenue and at MoberlyHospital.com.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Friends. This is Tuesday, it's February the 12th, just a couple of days before Valentine's Day. I hope the month is going well for you. February, as many of us know, is Black History Month, and we're going to talk about that today. I've got my friend Mary Ratliff with us, and who better to talk about Black History Month than Mary Ratliff?
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you here, Mary.
Good to be here.
It's an important month to draw awareness to the trials and tribulations of the Black people, what the Black people went through.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's still going through. Mm-hmm. Would you say that things are good right now or still problems?
Not good. They're still problems.
Better, though.
Things are much better, much improved, but we still are a long way from being where we need to be as a society as far as stamping out, you know, racism and sexism and all of the isms.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a lot of isms out
yes,
there.
Yes, yes, we're
there's
a, long
there's
way
a whole
from,
lot of isms.
Right,
and when you talk about prejudice against Black people, there's prejudice against a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And if we could wipe that out,
absolutely,
we would be a lot better as a country and as a people.
Absolutely.
Do you ever see the day that will happen?
You know, I would have said no, but I also just finished saying in 2000 I would never get to see a Black president.
Right.
So we got a Black president, so I guess I can't say never anymore that won't happen.
Did you think before 2000 that you would, in your lifetime, you would see a Black president?
No. I thought I would never in my day see a Black president. That was my thinking. And so based on that, I guess I would have to say, you know, anything is possible. Mm-hmm. I just know that we have to work. We have to work doubly hard. And one of the things that happened is that it became visible, you know, with the election of the president, it became visible that we have some serious racial problems, mm-hmm. which is going to make us take a harder look at it. Make everybody take a harder look at it. They're going to be forced to. They have to.
Mm-hmm. Instead of looking at everything through rose-colored glasses.
Absolutely.
What do you hope that Black History Month accomplishes? What are you hoping that it will accomplish?
I think that what Black History Month is meant for is really to show the injustices of the injustices and the ignorance, because much of the injustice is due to ignorance, the injustice and ignorance of the past. And if we just need to keep educating people to see how what a disservice it is to everybody for racial prejudice to continue to exist. And so I think that Black History Month, we keep telling the stories. And folks, because some of the time, some of our young people, when they see some of the things, the movies and things, they'll say, "Did this really occur?
Those are
just
some
movies."
Some kids that are 20 years old,
yes,
21 years old, 22 years old, cannot remember.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How it was.
They absolutely cannot. And even, you know, the truth of the matter is, in Columbia, I'm from Mississippi, the young people my age in here can't even relate to what it was like in Mississippi.
So what was it like in Mississippi when you were growing up?
It was, you know, it was total prejudice. Everybody had their place, you know, and Black folks, there was, and as they said, you know, Black folks had no rights that the white man needed to, you know, observe or mm-hmm. respect.
There were there were separate drinking fountains.
There were separate drinking fountains. And even when I came here, when my parents moved here and I came here, the first time, I guess, when I first started to become really, really aware, because you live in an environment, and that's the environment you're in, and that's the only thing you've ever known. And so when I came here on the bus to visit my folks moved here, and I stayed there my junior, senior.
So you came from Mississippi to Columbia.
Uh-huh, and I stayed there my junior, senior year with my coach, and I played basketball. I stayed there with my coach and his wife, and my parents moved here for my junior, senior year. And so when school was out for the summer, and I caught the bus to come here, I had to get on the bus in Mississippi and go to the back of the bus. There was a sign there that said that.
It didn't say black. It said colored, right?
I don't remember. It didn't say black. It wasn't black. Yeah, probably said colored.
Colored, in the back of the bus.
Uh-huh, in the back.
But then when you got to Missouri, could you sit in the front of
Because we came through, the way we came through Illinois, I guess it was, down there. But when we crossed over into Illinois to get into, before we came into St. Louis, that's the way the bus had to go then. They took the sign down. The bus driver took the sign down. You know, people could sit anywhere they wanted.
So once you crossed the border.
Once you crossed the line, it was illegal for them to put, you know, like you were in Illinois. Folks could sit where they wanted to. Well, when I got back on the bus, I was peeved then, you know. So when I got back on the bus, I just automatically went to the back of the bus because I wasn't changing when I was going back home, because I wasn't changing when I got to the Illinois line to go to the back, sit in mm-hmm. front and go to the back, you know. So
when you went home, when you left Missouri, the black people could sit anywhere in the bus, but once you got
to the line,
they had to put the sign up, and the black people had to go to the back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Could not ride in the front.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you say in your lifetime that's one of the biggest changes that you've seen?
I guess that's one of the, yeah, I guess maybe, yes. I think that accommodations, period. Mm-hmm. Because there were those, you know, there were many of those. There were, you know, like we had an accident on the 22nd of December 1959 down in Houston, Missouri. That's the day we got married. We had a car accident, and we couldn't stay in a hotel.
You couldn't stay in a hotel?
Absolutely.
In Houston, Missouri?
No.
Because you were black.
That's right, a black family. The service station people found this black family because we couldn't get the car done until the next morning to put us up.
I appreciate you sharing this information with us, mm-hmm. because this is something maybe some of our young people listening to KBIA may not realize.
Absolutely.
Not realize that.
Absolutely.
This is Black History Month. If people want more information on this, what can they do?
They can contact me at 445-3231, or they can email me at marrat300@aol.com.
MARRAT
300.
300@aol.com. Mary Ratliff, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank
and
you.
Sharing your story with us.
Thank
today.
You.
Okay. All right. Tomorrow, the cold and flu season, we got Gene Forrester with us from D&H Drugs and Excess Art. Our program directed by Travis McMillan of the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Audio is Pat Akers, KBIA. Our floor director is Amy Simon, and our assistant producer and guest coordinator, Uncle James Mauser. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.